Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We read a portion of our gospel lesson again for this morning from Luke chapter 21. Then there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and there will be anguish on the earth among nations bewildered by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and expectation of the things that are coming on the world because the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is near. We pray. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear fellow redeemed. One of the texts that is often read on the first Sunday of Advent, which was last Sunday, is the Palm Sunday account, where Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey amid great excitement and hope. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" That day and the next 7 days are the height or pinnacle of Jesus' first coming, a coming that began with his birth that we will observe in just a couple of weeks. At that time, he came as king, whose kingship was hidden under his flesh. And we know why. So this Son of God in human flesh could go to the cross to pay for the sins of all those other human beings, ourselves included. So that was his first coming, which we look forward to celebrating on December 20th, our family Christmas service, and also the 24th and the 25th, and all 12 days of Christmas. But during Advent, we are also reminded of his present coming. We find this alluded to in the words of that Palm Sunday account with the word Hosanna. And so the question is, where is that word, or where are the words Hosanna exclaimed today in our worship services? They are usually a part of the Sunday communion service, the Sanctus, we call it. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So why do we sing those words, those Palm Sunday words, right then during the service? Because Jesus, again, is coming to us with his body and blood, really coming to us with his real body and blood to give us what he bought for us at that first coming, the forgiveness of our sins. And so Jesus now comes to us through his word and sacraments. That's his present coming to us. But here's an important reality for the Christian to keep in mind. His first coming, Christmas, and his present coming do not solve everything. Even though he invaded the world at Christmas as a king, culminating in giving up his life for everyone, and even though he comes to us now to give us the most precious thing that could ever be found on earth, his mercy and grace found in his word, in our baptism, in the Lord's Supper. Not everything is fixed. By the way, this is kind of interesting. This is one of the mistakes that many people make when they think about Jesus' first coming. They think Christmas was or is supposed to make everything pretty much perfect. Peace on earth in an earthly sense. But his first coming and his present coming, they don't fix everything. We walk out into this world and all kinds of things go wrong. If you're a Chicago Bears fan, or to be a little more serious, the car needs to be repaired. The house needs work. We're a little short on money. The future of our economy could take a nosedive. Maybe some of you fought on the way to church today. Maybe you will fight on the way home. At home, there can be an air of tenseness, conflicts between spouses and kids and parents and siblings or other relatives. You find more wrinkles and gray hair. Your health problems have probably not gone away. Even if they have, something else will probably hit you pretty soon. You seriously suffer emotionally or mentally. You have pressures at school, at work. Maybe you don't sleep all that well. There's all kinds of false religions and false teachings out there tempting our members. Political disagreements and fights have not by any means gone away. Our country continues to head down an evil path. And then there's the pandemic, imposing all kinds of restrictions, some of which seem senseless. But that pandemic also brings on many a real fear of death. But most of all, there is sin. Our own sin and the sin of our neighbors, including some mentioned in our text. So all these things are happening. In spite of the fact that Christ came that first time, born in Bethlehem and finally making his way to Jerusalem and the cross. And in spite of the fact that he comes to us now through word and sacrament, we need something much more. We need a final fix and solution. We need the final coming of Christ. Jesus himself is the one who says so. And he puts great emphasis on this final coming, as we can see in many, many verses and many chapters of the Gospels. And one of the primary things he does there, he gives us signs of that final coming. And you can divide these signs up into different categories, but I'm just going to use two categories this morning. I'm going to talk about ongoing stressful signs that occur here and there that have been taking place ever since Christ was here that first time. And many of these signs, these ongoing stressful signs, could be called catastrophic. And then there are what I call beyond catastrophic signs. And that will occur just before Christ arrives, and which everyone who is still alive will experience. So you have ongoing stressful signs and beyond catastrophic signs. Now, the ongoing distressful signs include natural disasters such as earthquakes and famines and plagues, and we're very familiar with plagues now, aren't we? Plagues include pandemics or the bubonic plagues of the past, the Black Death, where back in the 14th century in Europe and Asia, 75 to 200 million people died, including 30 to 60% of the population of Europe. And of course, plagues could include things like cancer and the AIDS epidemic, and of course, our current pandemic that we're now living with. Other signs include, Jesus tells us, revolutions and wars and rumors of wars. It's interesting, many historians estimate that wars have increased century after century. Jesus tells us there will be an increase of wickedness. The love of most will grow cold. He explains how the church itself will be disrupted and attacked. There will be false prophets, false Christs, the rise of the Antichrist, and that Christians will be hated and persecuted, betrayed even by family members. They will be imprisoned, and some will be martyred. Now, we've seen all these things throughout the centuries, and we see them now. And many have apparently increased over time. These, again, are the ongoing distressful signs that have occurred ever since the time of Christ. But then there are the beyond catastrophic signs. Jesus puts it this way in our text: then there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and there will be anguish on the earth among nations bewildered by the roaring of the sea and the waves. People will faint from fear and expectation of the things that are coming on the world, because the powers of the heavens will be shaken. It's described this way in Matthew 24, immediately after the distress of those days. In other words, immediately after the ongoing distressful signs, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not shed its light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So these are the beyond catastrophic signs and will be observed and experienced by everybody living on the face of the earth. So again, you have these ongoing distressful signs taking place throughout the New Testament period, here and there. Natural, societal, and religious catastrophes wreaking havoc on countries and families, the Christian church, and individual believers. But then you have immediately before Christ, before he comes that last time, this other group of signs, beyond catastrophic ones, that everyone who is still on earth will observe. And these beyond catastrophic signs cannot be explained by natural phenomena like eclipses or blood moons or shooting stars or meteorite showers or hurricanes or tsunamis or an all-out nuclear war or even the worst possible effects of global warming. You know, if those sorts of things do occur, they would be simply classified under the ongoing distressful signs and not the beyond catastrophic signs. For what Jesus is talking about here involves the whole universe. Again, in our text, Jesus says the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And that is followed by this: then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So why does Jesus described these frightening and soul-disturbing signs that will take place before his coming. Not to satisfy some idle human curiosity, as we sometimes see in these end-of-the-world movies and novels. Now, this is way too serious for such a trivial human fascination. So why? Four reasons. First, Jesus says, when you see these things happening, recognize that the kingdom of God is near. He wants us to know and observe the signs so that we do not forget the fact that he is coming. Most people assume the world will simply continue as it has, or at least they live their lives as if it will not end. But it will end, and the signs we now see and have seen say so. Jesus is coming. Second, he says, be on your guard so that your minds are not dulled from carousing, drunkenness, and worries of life, or that day will come on you unexpectedly like a trap. Now, this is a call to take sins seriously. This is a call to a life of repentance, repentance as a lifestyle. To be weighed down or have minds that are dulled by carousing and drunkenness is to think that such sins as drunkenness and drug use and sex outside of marriage, pornography, the love of money, the obsession of acquiring material things, the pursuit of power, prestige, and popularity, that those things are no big deal and can be indulged in. Same thing with the sin of worry, which is, you might say, the opposite side of the same coin and betrays a lack of faith. Worry is, you might say, freaking out about those things that might come upon us and make life miserable for us, maybe even kill us. And this one, if you think about it, is especially pertinent to the current pandemic, where one can easily become obsessed with thoughts like, will I get COVID-19? And if I get it, will I die? Yeah, maybe we will get it, and maybe we will die from it. But to be anxious and obsessed by it is another matter. As Jesus says earlier in the chapter, when you see or hear these distressing signs, he says, don't be alarmed. Do not be terrified. Your God has everything under control. It's not that the Christian is unaffected by these things. We are. We're all tempted by them, and we sin daily. But what Jesus is saying here is that this is a call to live in repentance, to confess our sins, when we see our hearts becoming attached to these things, to find in Christ real and full forgiveness. And just rest there. Be at peace and live by faith in Christ. Just rest there and live by faith. Third, Jesus says, but be alert at all times, praying, that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Pray. And if you don't know what else to pray, pray the prayer that Jesus taught you to pray, especially that last petition, but deliver us from evil. As Luther says, we pray in this petition as the sum of all, that our Father in heaven would deliver us from every evil of body and soul, property and honor. And at last, when the hour of death shall come, grant us a blessed end and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven. We pray. Fourth, Jesus said, when these things begin to take place, and he's talking about the beyond catastrophic signs, he says, stand up and lift your heads. If we have the privilege of being alive when Jesus returns, we are not to run and hide. We are not to faint or commit suicide. That will be the reaction of those who don't know Christ and know what's happening. No, we are to stand and lift our heads. For we know, we believe, who this is who is coming. And we know why he is coming. Because your redemption is near. That final, complete, perfect reality. You and I know. You and I not only know and believe how he is coming on the last day, in all his glory and power. But you and I also now know and believe how he came that first time, hiding his glory, hiding his power, hiding his kingship. And you and I know why he hid his glory and his power and his kingship. So this God in human flesh would allow himself to go from the manger to the cross to suffer for our sins, to suffer in our place. And so when this King comes in all his glory, he will not have forgotten what he did for you on the cross. In fact, he is coming because of what he did for you on the cross. He is coming because he wishes to complete your redemption. He lived for you. He died for you. He bought forgiveness for you. He comes now in word and sacraments with all his grace for you. And when he comes on that last day in all his glory and power, he is coming for you to make your redemption final and forever. So, stand up and lift your heads. When you see this earth going absolutely crazy, and you observe the heavenly bodies in the universe shaking, and then you see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory, you can stand and stand tall. You can lift up your head and do so with complete confidence and absolute joy. because it is not only a king who is coming, but a king who fully completed his work as Savior, who has redeemed you, who has already judged you to be not guilty, a judgment that will stand on that day because you have trusted in him. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen. And now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.